quite a lot of mention about people waffling in the Valley of Decision. By the way, that expression was in Joel. Audrey and I were watching an English movie, and there was a girl who was giving birth, and there was a nurse. And I guess the baby was almost out or just about to come out. And the nurse was yelling, push, push. And the girl is screaming. And the nurse yelling, push, push. And the girl screaming. And she finally said, I've changed my mind. That's kind of the way it is, you know, when you decide you're going to go all out for God. Boy, it's easy to get halfway in, decide, and rethink your decision. Oh, yes. All right. Lloyd will be reading in Psalms 37. All right, we'll ask God to help us with the word. Father, in Jesus' name, you know how important it is these days that we know your mind. And so we pray you'll help us, Lord. This business of fretting is going to be a real problem for us. And I pray that you'll help us and to hear what God is saying. Help everyone on this property to hear what God is saying. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Oh, okay, we're going to go through verse 10. I'm sorry. Second verse. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. All right, back to verse 1. We see, you know, we read in the paper, and the things that people do, particularly our leaders, and it just galls us. And God does not want us to do that. Okay? I have a battle with it. And I know you do too. We read about things, and I know that I read every day, I read the World Net Daily, which is a right-wing internet newspaper. And in there, the man, Joseph Farr, is the editor. I guess he's an Arab, as far as I know. And he runs things, and one of the latest is The Lunatic in Chief. Talking about the president, the lunatic in chief. Well, we figure, you know, put him up on the dartboard and throw a few darts at him. Well, about 2 o'clock this morning, when I was trying to go to sleep and listening to the rain pounding, the Lord spoke to me. And you can judge whether it's the Lord or not. It's up to you. But this is what I heard. He said, do not attack the president. Well, I've been doing that in my mind, and I have to be careful because I do a lot of writing, and I have to be careful it doesn't come out in my writing. Do not attack the president. And I know that's scriptural. I know that's scriptural. One thing in Psalms, it says promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west. But it is the Lord that sets up one and puts down another. Well, see, we're in a democracy, and that kind of gets in there and meddles with that. And we feel, well, we have the right to put people up and put people down. But the Bible says God puts up one and puts down another. And then again in Romans it says, pray for those who have the kings and all who have the authority over you and pay your taxes and so on. Well, that's what it says. But the currents in our country are strong, particularly because it's like the country's divided. Now, I was born in New England, raised in New England, so I'm a Yankee to the bone. And I see things that, oh, man, they just do not agree with my feelings. And it's easy to fret. And you know what it does? It tears you down. There's a verse here. It's in Philippians 4, verse 8. Now, you know, when the Bible says, do not fret, guess what it means? Yeah, it means just that. And we can say, but that doesn't change the Bible. And here's a verse that I believe is from the Lord. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, you can't think about that the president is the lunatic in chief and at the same time obey that scripture. So it gets into my mind, you know, it washes in like water. The first thing you know, I'm cursing the darkness. And I know it's harmful spiritually. It is harmful spiritually. And I know that. So I've been trying some mental things on myself. One thing you can do is memorize this verse, and when you feel yourself drifting off in that direction, quote the verse. You can do that, or think about something else that is good. Now, I don't think anybody in the house would feel that's wrong. Now, when it's a battle to keep your mind on things that are lovely in our day, especially with the election coming up, it's a battle. Now, I want to read to you a story, and it's found in 2 Chronicles. In the 35th chapter, beginning with verse 20. And I heard a man preach on this. Oh, Lord, I'll have it up. I don't need it in my Bible, I guess. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 20. I heard a man preach on this many years ago, maybe 30 years, 40 years ago. He preached on meddling. And I'd never forgotten that. I imagine all those years. So I know from that the Holy Spirit, that was the Holy Spirit speaking, or I wouldn't have remembered it all those years. But I've never forgotten this sermon. And it applies to what I'm thinking about this morning. Now, this is about King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was one of the best kings of Israel. He spent his time smashing the idols and doing everything he could to restore the people of Israel. He was a good king. And after all of this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates, and Josiah marched out to meet him in battle. Now, he evidently, it doesn't say the route he took. He would have gone across the Arabian desert. And Josiah took note of it, because that would have been, you know, across the Negev or whatever route he took. And Josiah marched out to meet him in battle, Pharaoh Necho. But Necho sent messengers to him. Now notice this. This is so revelatory, and it nails down something I've been preaching for 5 years. And this is a heathen king, a pharaoh of Egypt, and he says to sent messengers to Josiah to say this: "What quarrel is there between you and me, O king of Judah? It is not you I am attacking at this time, but the house with which I am at war," which may have, I knew what it was.
Babylon.
Was it Babylon? I know he was going up, Pharaoh Necho was going up to help the king of Assyria. I know that in battle. And maybe he was, maybe Assyria was battling Babylon. Stan says, so it's undoubtedly true. Now notice what he says. "But the house with which I am at war, God has told," in other words, Josiah, "God hasn't told me to fight with you." So he says, "God has told me to hurry." Notice the expression, "God has told me, God has told me." "So stop opposing God, who is with me, or he," not I, "he will destroy you." This is a heathen king talking to the king of the chosen people. Josiah, however, would not turn away from him, but disguised himself to engage him in battle. He would not listen, now get this, to what Necho had said at God's command. Isn't that something? "But went to fight with him," with Pharaoh Necho, "on the plain of Megiddo." That's where we get the name Armageddon. That's where the final battle will be fought. It's a famous battlefield north of Jerusalem, Megiddo. And we get the name Armageddon from Har Megiddo, the mountain of Megiddo, where Christ will attack Antichrist. "Archers shot King Josiah, and he told his officers, 'Take me away. I am badly wounded.' So they took him out of his chariot, put him in the other chariot he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died." And this man, this preacher, to whom I am greatly indebted, said he was meddling. It was a lesson on meddling. And I think that's good for us all to know. Don't meddle. Proverbs says something like, when you're meddling, it's like taking a dog by the ears or something to that effect. Don't meddle. But I get something else out of it that I think applies to this whole thing of our president and the other notable people who are making decisions, some of them billionaires, that are seeking to turn our country from capitalism to socialism. And I'm not into capitalism or socialism either. I see good in both and I see evil in both, and that's not my bag at all. But there's people behind the scenes pushing America in the direction of socialism. They're anti-capitalistic. Well, that's cool. But here's the point. See if you can get it. Josiah made a great mistake. What was it? It just sticks out like that. He made a great mistake. A fatal mistake. That Pharaoh Necho did not make. What? It sounds to me from what you're saying that you're right on there, or at least very close, probably right on. The acoustics up here are not the great. That's my excuse. He didn't ask the Lord. He was carried away with his success in abolishing the idols, greatly applauded. All the righteous Jews naturally would congratulate him on what he had done. You can read in preceding chapters here and also in 2 Kings the things that he had done. He was riding high, And he figured, now here is another enemy of Israel, and I'm going to continue my work of destroying the enemy. But he didn't ask God. Now, Pharaoh Necho was hearing from the Lord. The Bible says that, that Josiah did not obey what God had commanded through Pharaoh Necho. So Pharaoh Necho, here he is, a heathen, was hearing from God, just as Cyrus the Great heard from God in the rebuilding of the temple. God can speak, you know. He doesn't have to speak to the church. He can speak to anybody he wants to. And he had spoken to Pharaoh Necho. He said, I want you to go up there and help the king of Assyria. And he told Necho, hurry. And here marches out this righteous king of Judah to oppose him. Who was Josiah opposing?
God.
Now that's what God was getting through to me last night, this morning. Don't attack the president. In other words, you don't know what he's about, what he's doing, what I have told him to do. You're just down there because you like certain things, maybe capitalism, maybe whatever, and that's not your business. Well, you're meddling. Now, you say, well, then what do we do? We've got an election coming up. Can't we vote? Certainly you can. Certainly you can do whatever you want to, but what must you do first? If I could get that through people's heads, it'd be a miracle. Because they come at me like, what's the matter with you? Don't you believe in righteousness, government? Don't you know that it's said that evil happens because good men do nothing? Don't you know that, Thompson? Aren't you aware of that? Are you in favor of the things that are going on, which are obviously leading America down to where it will certainly become a third-class nation? That's the direction we're going, believe me. I know it. You say, is that what you want? No, that's not what I want. I'm a citizen of this country, same as you. That's not what I want. But when I go to God, when I ask God, and I do hear from God, I do hear from God. God doesn't tell me you're supposed to get active in this political battle. You're not supposed to curse the president. You're not supposed to curse the people that do not agree with you in politics. You leave that with me. Do what I tell you. And God has said to me, don't get involved. He couldn't be more plain. And I'll tell you this. I have battled the opinions of people all my life because I'm always against the scenes what everybody else is doing. And brother, sister, God helping me, and I don't say this boastfully, but I don't intend to change. And what I believe God is saying, that's what I'm going to give to you. God helping me. And God says, do not attack the president. Does that mean you have to vote for him? No. What does it mean? Ask God. Don't assume. What happened to Joshua when he assumed the Gibeonites were telling him the truth? It was a mess, and it continued until the time of David. Because Saul went and killed a bunch of Gibeonites, another man that acted rashly and caused a mess. The church is forever acting rashly and causing a mess. What is so difficult about asking God? I had some brothers years ago come up in my front room, and they wanted to hash over some stuff. And I said, all right, I hear you. Let me ask you one thing. 1 week, just go and ask God what he's saying, and then come back and tell me. And I said, I'll know if it's the Lord. One man came back and told me, and what he said was right on. But it wasn't what all my friends were coming up with. So people, it doesn't really matter what we think or what we assume or what everybody is saying or what is the nationalistic processes or anything. The only thing that matters is what Jesus is saying. And he said, don't attack the president. Now, what about fretting? You know something? Paul the Apostle, who wrote Philippians 4:8, was in jail at the time. The government was hopelessly corrupt. He never said one word about the government. Not one word. And they ended up killing him. And so perverse they were, they took him out early in the morning and had his head cut off because they knew if they did it publicly that there'd been an uproar in Rome. So they sneaked out with him and had his head cut off. But he never, all he ever said about the government was pray for those that have the rule over you. The Lord Jesus never, never criticized the government to my knowledge. And yet the government put him to death. Now, what does that tell us? Our leaders, Paul and Jesus, set an example for us. Jesus said, if I were of my kingdom or of this world, my servants would fight. What's he telling us? You know, what's he doing? Now, what God says is, we're back to the 37th Psalm now. Let me read it again. Do not fret. What is fretting? It's when you're all the time chewing in your mind, now look what they've done. You read the, if you want to know the recent, they hadn't ought to do it, read WorldNet Daily. They'll have it for you. Now look what they've done. Now look what they've done. You know what that is? That's Satan trying to get your mind on his antics. You can look in the, you can say, Bible says the glory of the Lord fills the earth, and it does. The world is the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, how many here believe that God has control of people? Yes. Do you believe that or not? Do you believe that God could stop all the evil in the world if he wanted to? Yes or no? Boy, some of you seem undecided. Well, I'm here to tell you, as your friendly pastor, God has all power. And he can do it. So when we, now listen, this is cagey here. When we fret about what's happening in the world, what are we doing in terms of God? Yeah, that's what we're saying. You don't know what you're doing. Why don't you do it this way? And we don't even know what's going on. I'll tell you, the big battle is the battle between good and evil. Now, we don't know where America stands in this. There is so much evil in America, it is sickening. In the entertainment field, in the schools, imagine bringing down lessons on homosexuality into the early primary grades. Can you imagine that? And they're trying to work it so that by law, the homeschool teachers cannot criticize of the lesbian lifestyle. That's the United States of America that I was born in, but it wasn't like that at that time. We have gone down so far in the last 50 years, it's terrible. And you know what, boys and girls, it isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse. And a big danger to you and me will not be whether the Democrats get elected or the Republicans or the Libertarians or who. It is fretting about it. And thereby demonstrating that we do not have faith in God. Now, it isn't because good men do nothing that evil prospers. It's because good men don't pray. In the rest of God, in Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, cease from your own works. Cease from your own works. What does that mean? Pray about what you do. Pray about what you do. Do God's works. And if God says go out and put on a sandwich board and put on it that the president is a lunatic in chief, then do it. But God's not going to tell you that, because that's not where the action is. Do you know from time immemorial that God uses the devil to do God's will? You know, every demon in hell was there to get Christ crucified. The Roman soldiers to get Christ crucified. And you know what they accomplished? The blood atonement. And those were watching, maybe the zealots or somebody else said, you know, we should be out there, we should be doing it. He's crucifying an innocent Jew. They were preparing the blood atonement of the Lamb of God. And those people didn't know that. How were they going to act then? Supposing good men did something. Supposing good men went and prevented the crucifixion. Because they didn't hear from God. See? It's that way in your life and my life. When the evil comes against us, if we'll go to God, He will turn it to good. Amen. However this election comes out, and vote the way God impresses you, but however it's going to work for good for you, because the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God, and there's nothing in the universe that can change that. Amen. So you see, if you know it's working for good, then why fret about it? Now, I went through every verse in here. There's 40 verses in this psalm. And I went through them all yesterday very carefully. And you know what comes blazing out? That God doesn't say anything about what we're to do about the evil except ignore them. He says, I will cut them off. Verse after verse. Do not fret yourself. There's nothing like going by the Bible. And now what I'm telling you is, don't go home and make your wife and children miserable by chewing about a man that is in power because God has permitted it. Because God's going to use that man to do what God wants, and there's nothing else that Obama can do about it except God's will. God has that much power. And you might as well rest in it, and you might as well give your family peace and quit making your face look like a pickle when you're doing what the Bible commands you not to do. Or maybe you don't believe the Bible. But I think you're here because you do. Do not fret because of evil men. That's what we're talking about. Evil men. Are they evil? Yes, they're evil. That isn't the issue, whether they're evil or not. They're evil. Believe me. But we're not to fret because of evil men. Does the Bible say that or not? Yes, it does. Is it a commandment or not?
Yes, it is.
It doesn't say, please don't do this, does it? It says, do not fret because of evil men. Well, if you fret about the evil men in our country, it's going to take you a long time. And what are you doing? You are rebelling against God. Yes, you are. I'm sorry, but you're rebelling against God. Because God said, don't do that. Well, shouldn't I do something about it? If God tells you what to do about it, yes. If he told Josiah to go down there and attack Pharaoh Necho, he would have been victorious. But Josiah didn't ask. See, he knew better. How many here know better than what the Bible says? Lloyd, don't raise your hand. Come on. Bishop Darlington back there. Do not fret! We need a big sign in the church, because I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. And if Obama gets elected and he's in there for another 4 years, and don't worry, he's just biding his time. hoping he gets reelected so he can really put in his change. You go fretting yourself, you're going to ruin your whole Christian experience. And it'd be your own fault because God told you not to do it. Oh, well, I'm doing the best I can. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. We don't realize it. But many times when we fret about evil people, it's because we're envious of them. Well, that's a subtle thing, and it goes deep, and we just don't realize it. But we're thinking to ourselves, if they can get away with it, why can't I? That's what it says. You know, there's nothing smarter than the Bible. I see that more. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Now, well, you don't see that too much out here, but back in New England you do. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Now, I want you to think about that. Does it say what you're supposed to do is pray till God removes them? What does it say about the wicked? What does it say about the wicked? Come on. Doesn't it say they will soon wither? Well, then what are we worried about? I can remember when Hitler and Mussolini were riding high. Now, most of you can't remember that, but I can remember it very well. I was downstairs shoveling ashes out of the furnace on the day of Pearl Harbor. Hitler. It seemed like he was going to conquer the world. And he might have. There were just a few things that prevented that. Just a few. But he was on his way, especially in terms of England, who was down to, 7 weeks, and they'd have run out of food. Hitler, 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 Hitler. Where is he now? They had a hard time finding his grave, didn't they? Finding his body. They had a hard time. I don't know if they ever did find him. God took care of it. They said, well, we went to war. Sure, we went to war. Because God moved in such a way on people that they accomplished God's will. The point was there was no use for anybody fretting about Hitler. They could enlist, you know, if they want to do that. But to fret about it, no. Not allowed. Mm-mm. They will soon die away. How many here are worried about Adolf Hitler? You really worried about Adolf Hitler? How about Benito Mussolini? Are you worried about him? Well, then don't worry about President Obama. He will, God, when he's through doing God's will, he'll vanish. You don't have to fret about it. Trust in the Lord. Now, we had a sermon during the offertory on that. And do good. Well, when you're fretting about the government, you're not doing good. You're occupying with something that is not helping a thing except, one, tearing you down from your high place in Christ, and two, causing a lot of spiritual static. You're not hurting Mr. Obama at all, but you're hurting yourself. Do good. Find something good. I heard a good story about Yanni Damianos. I heard that this morning, about how he has been a friend to a boy in his school who is kind of Dimitri. I'm sorry, it's Dimitri. And he wanted the, and this boy is, what's his illness? Is multiple sclerosis?
Muscular dystrophy.
And he's a fairly tall kid and weighs, 110 pounds or something. And the other kids don't like him. They don't want to be with him. So Dimitri's being friendly to him. That's doing good. So behind Tony's hill, house is a hill. How long is it up there, Tony?
I think it's about a mile,
mile and a half. And you go up there, and then Dimitri's got a little place up there, a little hideaway, where he can look out over the countryside. And this boy can't walk. He's in a wheelchair. You know what Dimitri did? He carried this boy all the way up the hill. 110 pounds. Next time you got 110 pounds, try walking around with it. But I mean, that's what the Bible means by doing good. That's exactly it. You don't curse the darkness. You light a candle. Well, you're not a good American. Oh? I'm as rebellious as any other American. Our country was born in rebellion. Don't tread on me. Delight yourself in the Lord. See, when you get to fretting, you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, so you've broken another commandment. You're not delighting, you're just chewing, you're old sourpuss. And he will give you the desires of your mouth, right? That often happens, that we don't really know what our desires are. So God hears our prayers, and then he gives us the desire of our heart. So sometimes when you get an answer to prayer and it isn't the answer you wanted, just hold on a little bit. Maybe it'll turn out better than you think. But that's so important, to delight yourself in the Lord. And a lot of religious people do not. To them, the church, the whole thing, it's like on the offertory there. She started out trusting the Lord, and then Ford got a better idea. You go back to trusting the Lord, and the birds will sing in your heart. If you don't, you get church people who've been attending the same church for 40 years. Boy, sometimes they'll be bitter and gall. They're just bitter about everything, the people and the church and the pastor and everything else. And it doesn't need to be that way. It's because we're trying to live our religion in our own strength. Because we're not hearing from the Lord. Instead of hearing from the Lord, we're deciding what's right and what's wrong, who's doing right and who's doing wrong, and we're usually incorrect on most of it. Instead of just listening to the Lord and delighting ourselves in him. Boy, if you're not delighting yourself in the Lord this morning, you're missing it. Yeah. You don't have to be a sourpuss just because you're a Christian. Is that right, Trevor? Yeah, he's grinning back there. Commit your way to the Lord. Now, if you don't do that every morning, you're naughty. You should, every morning, commit your way to the Lord and ask him to direct that day. Now, if you're too busy to do that, you're too busy. Who used the word choreograph this morning? It was Yanni. Ask the Lord each morning to choreograph your day, what you think, what you say, and what you do. Every morning. I don't have time. Well, get up earlier. 5 minutes is all it takes to commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. That's not faith. Trust is, and faith are two different things, really. Trust is when you just, no matter how bad things get, you know that God is on the throne. And you know that you have been obedient to him. Oh, don't ever live a day when you feel you might be disobeying the Lord. Get that straightened out. Well, when I stop here, which I eventually will, you know, you make sure that you don't go out of here with something in your mind. You think maybe you're not doing God's will. You make sure you're doing God's will. You might be killed on the way home. It happens. He will do this. What will he do? He will give you the desires of your heart. Will he really? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a long time. You know, because God likes to work with seasoned wood. You know, he rough cuts it and he sets it aside to let it dry out good, and then fashions it some more and then sets it aside to let it dry out good. You have to do that with lumber. You don't want to work with wet lumber. And God does that with people. I can remember over my life there are periods when I feel like I'm being drawn on the Lord's bow. And it's like he's drawing it and raising it up toward the target. It's not quite there, and I'm wondering, what are we doing? Where are we going? Why is this happening? And it goes on for months. And then, ding, I see what he's doing. Now it's going on for years. You just have to wait and let God draw that bow until he gets the arrow on target. He'll let it go someday. He won't forget you. Why? He has perfect recall. God has perfect recall. See, he's the cloud. At my age, I don't have too much on my hard disk in memory, but God's got the whole thing. And so when I want to remember something and I can't catch it right off the hard disk, I ask God to send it to me from the cloud. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but it comes. He has perfect recall. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. You know, I go nuts when I see that word. I, as if I don't have enough problems personally. I go nuts when I see that word righteousness. And every time now when I'm writing, I do not write the word righteous. I put righteous behavior. Because dispensational theology has made righteousness a question of believing in Jesus. That's not what righteousness is. Righteousness is like Dimitri carrying the boy up the hill. Oh, where does belief come in? Aren't we saved by faith? Yes, we're saved by faith. But if that faith doesn't lead to obedience, it's not faith at all. And that single concept is so powerful that if you ask the average Christian now, what is righteousness? Most of them will not be able to tell you. Try it. Because it's Satan has managed to get into Christian thinking to where we have the idea that if we believe in Jesus, that makes us righteous. Belief in Jesus does not make us righteous. Belief in Jesus is obedience to God. And we have to do that. But righteousness, when it's used here, for example, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. That means that God is viewing you as righteous, it's such a confusing thing. I spent the last 40 years trying to get at the root of what's wrong with this thing. But you see, every today, whenever the word righteousness, people say, oh yes, I believe in Christ, so I'm righteous, and they may be a liar, a thief, do drugs, beat their wife, but I'm righteous because I believe in Jesus. That's a lie. It's Satan's way of corrupting the Word of God. And when the Bible says righteousness, it means that in God's sight, you're acceptable. Now, that's all it means, is you're accepted to God and He approves of you. Now, if you believe in Jesus, but you do drugs and curse and everything like that, and you've been a Christian for some time, God does not hold you righteous, but I believe in Jesus. That doesn't make any difference. God didn't give you Jesus so you can live like the devil. That single error in thinking has destroyed the church in our country. Because when dispensational theology came in, it said to anywhere you see righteous, you can forget about it because it doesn't apply to Christians. What a tremendous error. So, the justice of your cause, God, you're doing what God tells you to do. You're not fretting. And so God counts you righteous. And He makes you appear so in the sight of other people. It just means approval of God. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, if Josiah had done this, he would never have got himself killed. He charged out because he knew what the right thing was to do. Assuming it. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. But I'm supposed to fret. I'm supposed to say, ain't it awful? No, you're not. Nobody asked you to do that. And God says, don't do it. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Refrain from anger. Are you angry this morning? What was the newest abomination? I read it this morning before I came in. There's some new abomination. I think it had something to do with contraception. Aren't I supposed to be enraged about that? Because the government is forcing the Catholic Church to provide free contraception or something like that against their religion. Now, I'm supposed to fret about that, aren't I? That's wrong. How many know it's wrong to force religious people to go against their beliefs? Do you agree with that? Well, that's the latest thing. That's the latest, ain't it awful? Okay? Now, what are you going to do about it? Here's a poor Catholic Church trying to have some semblance of virtue here and not be handing out free of charge contraceptions so that young women can have sexual intercourse all they want with no problem, whatever. And the Catholic Church is trying to prevent that, and the government is forcing it on them. What are you going to do about it, you red-blooded Americans? Huh? Man, you see, in a school in Massachusetts now, they've taken down all the St. Patrick notices, and it's not St. Patrick's Day anymore, it's O'Green Day. Aren't you in a rage about that? Come on, get a little fretting going here. That's wrong. Ain't it awful? Huh? And it's going to get worse. That's my comforting word to you today. It's going to get worse. So you better get the victory right now and get Philippians 4:8 memorized so that as soon as it begins to creep into your mind. But if I don't think in my mind that it's wrong, I'm not serving God. God says, don't do it. Well, that's best I can do is yell at you. All right. Refrain from anger. If you have a problem with anger, come up to the altar after I'm through here and ask God to take it out of you. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. That's just your old fallen nature expressing itself. But if I don't get mad about all these things, now they've got under Obamacare, now they've got a boy been cancer-free for 3 months, and they're forcing the boy to take medicines that have not been approved by the FDA, for one thing, and secondly, have a record of causing cancer. And they're forcing this little boy, because of a governmental edict, to take these two medicines that have not been approved and that have a track record of causing cancer to a boy who's been cancer-free for 3 months. Now, come on. You red-blooded Americans, are you going to sit there, are you going to do something about that? Ain't it awful? Yeah, it is. It's terrible. It's unthinkable. There's one thing you can do is pray for those people. The family's devastated. They don't want their little boy to have to do that. There's one thing you can do. You can pray about it. Lord, right now for that little boy. God, he's cancer-free and his parents are thrilled. And now the doctors are saying they have to follow the Obamacare rules. They have to give him these medicines. And if they don't, they're going to take the boy. Now, Lord, have mercy on such perversion as that. Have mercy on it, Lord. And keep that little boy free of those medicines. In Jesus' name. When no one can help, Lord, you can. You have the power. You have the power. Save that little boy. His parents are so happy because he's cancer free. And now the doctors are saying he has to take this medicine even though he's cancer free because it's called a standard medical rule or something that the government has formulated. You do this without thinking, regardless of the symptoms, regardless of anybody, you just do this. Typical large government. And I hate it with a New England passion. But I'm not going to let it tear me down because God said to me, don't attack the president. Just let God handle the evil. Because you don't know what he's doing, where he's going. But it will be for good because the Bible says so. But he doesn't want you and me to be torn down and ruin the sweetness of our personality by cursing the darkness. Does that sound right to you? I know I've been pretty strong, and I've run against a popular opinion, but I've done that all my life, so it just rolls off me. I guess I don't have good sense, shall we stand? Consider what I say and see if it's biblical. And if it's biblical, you have to do it. You don't have any choice. You don't want to be that lady with a baby half out and screaming, I've changed my mind. Oh, Lordy, the things that happen. Well, Lord, we don't want to be like that lady. We're committed, Lord. We're committed. We're committed to you, and you said, do not fret. So I pray for each one of us, Lord, if we find ourselves beginning to curse the darkness, that we will remember what you said about things that are lovely, things that are honorable, things that are pure. Help us, Lord, by your word, as the Apostle Paul did in prison. He did not complain. He just kept his mind on you. And so, Lord, we just pray for the strength and bring this, what I've said this morning, back to our minds, Lord, throughout the week, because we know we're going to be facing new abominations every day. Then help us not to go under with Satan's antics, but to look to Jesus and realize he knows what he's doing. He always does what the Father tells him, and the Father is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We don't want to cut off the servant's ear because then he won't be able to hear the gospel. Jesus, keep us from presumptive action. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lloyd, maybe you could give us a little music to give us a good atmosphere to keep our minds on the Lord. People, keep your minds on the Lord. The darkness is going to increase. It isn't going to get better. The thing to do is to learn now how to react, how to respond, and to keep the victory. That's the thing. How do I keep the victory when even my government does things that I don't approve of? How do I keep the victory? Oh, Jesus, teach us, Lord. Hallelujah. If you need to come this morning because you have been fretting, come and ask God to take the spirit of fretting from you. You don't have to do that. You do have to obey God, but you don't have to fret about wickedness. God wants you to delight yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. Lord, we delight ourselves in you. You do nothing but wonderful things, Lord. And we're just not going to give the devil that kind of credit, Lord. He doesn't run this world. You do. If you have problems with fretting, I want you to come forward because you're going against the Bible. You're sinning just as sure as if you were committing adultery. When you go against the Bible, you are sinning. And you don't want to do that. You want to be God to be pleasing and to bear a true testimony. And to bear a true testimony, your testimony has to be according to the Word. So I know you're all Bible-believing people and God-fearing people. And I'm just telling you what God has said. Do not fret. And if you can't get the victory, you come up here. Jesus will help you. I'll tell you, Jesus is not fretting. You know what he's doing? Laughing. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. And then there's another scripture that says the same thing. God is laughing, not because he approves of wickedness, but because he sees the devil's end coming. And that the devil is so ignorant as to think he can outwit God. And it just makes God laugh. And so laugh with God today. Laugh with God today. Don't go down. That's what the devil wants you to look at his antics and get all upset. Just enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I think God's doing a work here this morning. If you will respond to the word, God will respond to you and free you from the fretting. He'll do it. He has that power. Blessed be his name. Satan's not in control of this earth. God is our Father. He's in control. Jesus is not fretting. He's in control. He sees their end coming. He trusts his Father, and he knows that Father's doing it for good. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.